Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you enjoying the fall?
I love it.
Is it officially fall?
It is officially fall.
Yes. Change seasons officially? Mm-hmm. Cool.
And I'm anxious for the time to change, too, I think.
Yeah, thanks. I don't like the darkness at, 7 o'clock?
And I'm such a morning person. It feels so dark for so long.
Yeah.
But, yeah, love the fall. Going up to the mountains this weekend. I'm going to Vogel State Park. You know, I'm on that whole state park.
The tour of state parks.
I'll have to let you know how that is. But it should be beautiful. I think the leaves will have started to change a little
bit. Are you going to hike into one of those mountain-esque hiking retreat that you go to periodically?
No, not this time. Not clearing my mind that much. And actually, I'm cheating. I'm staying in a cabin.
What?
Yeah, I'm staying in a cabin.
With air conditioning?
No, with the heat. With the heat. I don't know.
No tents?
No tents this time. It's, you know, when it's two or three nights, I think I'm getting wimpy in my old age.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I might need some red wine. And, you know, today, great show, talking a little bit about business and inventions.
Right.
Which I love the inventor aspect of it. Art. We've got wine and we've got food.
All your favorite things.
All my favorite things.
If only Kenny Rogers was here to top it off.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers, Kenny Chesney, a little Sugarland. Yeah, exactly. We would have a full show. And we do have a great show lined up, so our listeners are in for a real treat today. Our first guest this morning, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Keith Duncan from IC Stand. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much to be here. Yep.
I got to know. I mean, this, it's an invention. We love inventors. We've had the Georgia Inventors Association on our show and lots of different inventors. But tell us, what is the IC Stand?
It's actually a portable version of electronic overhead projector. It's designed to be very lightweight and portable, and it uses a high-definition web camera as the recording device, runs through your laptop. We actually have a diagram on we can see here locally, so that you can hook it up to either your laptop, LCD projector, flat screen TV, or across the internet. Anything that goes underneath the web camera is shown to your audience.
Oh, wow. So that little thing that looks like a jawbone is the camera?
That's correct. It's a high definition webcam.
So for our listeners, to put this into perspective, it's tiny. It's like a little earpiece that you'd use with your cell phone.
Correct. And it's a standard off-the-shelf webcam.
And then it's on a stand that's sort of like the stand that our microphones are on. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So where do you come up with something like that?
I learned how to mind map, and I wanted to audio and video record while I was producing a mind map.
Do you know what a mind map is?
Did you see the look of, I have no idea what you're talking about?
A mind map is a visual way to represent large amounts of information on one page. It's a relational diagram.
And what types of applications would that be necessary for?
Yes.
Everything.
Almost everything.
It's like, you know, when you brainstorm, you put like things on the wall, you know, you're writing ideas down.
Usually I do my best
in your mind,
strategizing and brainstorming on a napkin.
There you go. Well, that's how this started, actually.
Really?
Back in the day.
Are you serious?
That's correct.
Yep. See, like you can, as you're writing, and you can share this, you can stream this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you can do this in a group setting with other people who have this device?
Only one person needs the device, the person that's the host.
Right.
And you can run it with WebEx or GoToMeeting, or the best one I like is dimdim.com, which is free WebEx.
And then so they can actually speak to you as this is happening and then tell you, hey, what about this? And then you can add that right to the diagram?
Exactly. It's an interactive tool with your audience. So I could actually write in real time on the paper here, and everyone could see on the computer monitor what we were talking about. So we could actually record the conversation, take meeting notes, show documents, three-dimensional objects. It's a show-and-tell tool.
Yes, it is. Wow. I can think of all kinds of applications in my mind now.
That's why you said yes. Yeah. It's good for pretty much anything.
Okay, so walk me through. I have a scenario already I'm thinking about.
Okay, what is it?
I train people in other states on certain products that they have to go out and implement.
Right.
All right? Don't need to say the products. It's pretty general. Now, I've got people in 12 states. I set up a conference call usually, and I do it over the phone. And I walk them through it, and it's pretty old school. How would this change what I'm currently doing?
What you can do is put your documentation underneath the camera and then do a webinar. And as you're discussing the subject matter with your audience, you can actually write directly on the
paper. Right, fill out the blanks.
Yes. So you actually could interview your audience and take their answers down, and they could see that you're getting it.
And they can ask you questions, and you can adjust on the fly right there live.
So different from a web meeting where it would be on the computer screen. It would be on the paper in front of me, like you're
right.
showing.
That's rather than using the computer screen, you're using paper and pencil, right?
Correct. And you're completely off the keyboard. When you do a presentation that's like a PowerPoint, I call it death by PowerPoint, you're locked into a sequence of 1 through 10.
You're right.
With this, you can pull anything on it under or out of the camera range to force people's attention on one thing at a time.
Right, and this would apply to everybody in this room here pretty much, like cooking or wine. They could demonstrate that live under the camera and it be seen by everybody as it's happening.
Wow. And what's so special about that camera? Because the clarity of this is amazing.
It's HD.
It's an HD camera. And what we're going to do now is actually electronically zoom down, and we'll actually show the label on this bottle of water, and now you can read it. And it should autofocus in a second. It takes a second.
Wow.
There we go.
What's the interface? It looks pretty standard.
It's a USB cable that plugs right in.
Right. Everything's off the shelf, right?
Correct. Except for the
stand. Except your brain. Put this all together.
And the stand is patent pending.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So the stand is patent pending. Now, what about this little camera device?
Off the shelf.
That's off the shelf.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yes. Like Office Depot, right?
There's three components to the system. There's the web camera, the stand, and the high-definition software. Any three can be interchanged. In other words, you can use the camera standalone. You can use the software with any other web camera. And then the stand will obviously evolve as we get better and better with the process.
Oh, my goodness. How fun would it be to do with my chickens, to do a backyard chicken thing? Because I have this office in the woods, too, that's outside. That would be so much
fun.
You could
interview the chickens. Put the chicken under the camera.
Well, it just allows so much more flexibility.
Right. That's the beauty of the stand.
My mind is reeling. Wow.
And also you have the ability to put the stand on the top of a tripod.
Okay.
So you could actually get this up much higher. If you have a large object, or let's say a cooking show, or you're showing a wine cellar, you can mount this stand on a tripod.
Right. So you can do more things. Not just this one you're showing for business purposes. That would be like on a desk or in a conference room. But the camera could go anywhere.
Well, yeah. Also, plus you can use it if you're in a conference room and you want to record audio and video record the conversation.
Right.
You can do that just by lifting the camera up.
Could you put a second camera on and do two images simultaneously?
Yes, you can do picture in picture.
Lee.
Look.
This is amazing.
See that?
So maybe walk us through. Obviously, we see it's very cool, lots of neat features and benefits. But what are some of the, you said everybody can use it. Give us some more applications that might be unique.
Maybe people that you've sold it to, how are they using it?
Well, they're using it at Gwinnett College University to actually, in the classroom environment, in order to show one-of-a-kind things and actually to put notes and problems to the students. Primarily now that the instructor doesn't have to turn his back on his students to write on the whiteboard. He can actually stand at his podium or desk and interact with his students, either in the room
or
remotely.
Right, face-to-face, and write just like he would, except now his back's not turned to them.
Yes. Plus, it also has full video recording and photograph capability. So let's say you have a special 30-minute class that has unusual problems. He can audio and video record it and then publish that for his students to go back and review later on for that particular class.
And that's where your value for your training would come in. You do this one time, then you go check out the video, and then you have questions, then come back to me.
Wow. Wow.
And also for sales. For example, when we designed this system, we used one in China and one here. And I had schematics on my side, and he had prototypes on his side. And we would talk very quickly about whether something was right or not.
Interesting. So tell us the development of the product. How did it start? I mean, you saw a need. How?
What was the pain you were in personally that you said, I wish I had one of these?
I wanted a way to record information for archival reasons. And also I wanted to be able to read things as we get older. When you hit 42, your eyes change. To be able to magnify things. So I saw it also for people that are visually impaired. They can use this and hook it up to their flat screen TV in their home and be able to read prescription bottles and legal documents and bank statements.
Wow. Yes, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about the beauty of being able to enlarge things until recently.
So you got that iPad, huh? Yeah, all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's a pretty big font, Mom.
loving the iPad because of that. And then reading glasses, I mean, I got them in every room of the house now, but it is so nice to be able to, on the fly, enlarge something like that. I mean,
how traumatic was that, having to enlarge the font on the iPad?
It's pretty easy, huh?
I know, but it's like you're getting old when you have to.
Yeah, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. But this, so you, like Lee asked, you were feeling a pain in what to develop this? And walk us through maybe the process of how that happened. Because we get inventors on the show. We get a lot of wannabe inventors on the show. I happen to be one of them. And I have these ideas, but the execution of them is a little bit more difficult.
I wanted something that was portable that could go in my pocket. I wanted something that was standalone. Like here, we obviously have no electricity. So I could be sitting out in my car or a construction site.
Or in the chicken coop.
Anywhere, and be able to record standalone. Or if I'm hooked up to Wi-Fi or cell phone, be able to broadcast. So lots of flexibility on where you're located. And then I also wanted something that was less than 10 ounces for the whole system. If you don't want to carry the weighted base around, actually the weighted base here, so you can walk it around the table up to 10 feet away from your computer. If you don't want to carry the weighted base, you can take a table clamp here, which actually locks to the bottom of the stand. The stand is actually patent pended at 45 degree angle because that's the optimum height where we can extension, where we can do something very small like a diamond ring or a coin, a very small object, or infinitely go up high if we had like a construction or schematic diagram.
Mm-hmm. And then you could even go higher if you were doing a cooking show.
Correct. And you can also use it on a tripod.
Wow. Very cool. So who did you? So you have the idea, you draw it out. How long did it take from start to finish?
We've been in development for about 2 years now. Mm-hmm. We really couldn't publish the current design until after the final, what they call continuation in parts patent, was put together. Primarily because of all the different design improvements that we have, such as this, we have a swivel foot here. We have an adjustable platform. A lot of design features that we couldn't show until the patent was complete.
And when I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like a cooking device. It looks like something you would use to stir or whisk. Wow, and it's lightweight. You're right. I mean, the setup for this, I watched you set it up, and I couldn't believe it. It took like all of 3 minutes for you to get it all set up. Gosh, I see a lot of flexibility and a lot of uses for it. So where can people find it?
It's actually, the website is ICstand, and you can spell it any way you want, primarily I and then S-E-E stand.com.
Okay. And you said it's being used in universities already, or you just have the educational application for it?
Well, it's education, sales. We actually have a lady that uses it for beauty makeup, where she actually has a flat screen TV in her window of her park salon, and she's showing people remotely how they're doing the people's nails.
Oh, that's interesting too. I mean, think about it, Lee. There are so many different applications for that.
I know. It's endless, like you said.
It is definitely endless and portable. So how can we help? I mean, how can we help make this product successful for you?
Primarily help me get the exposure, marketing exposure, which is what we all face in today's marketplace. Primarily the many different uses that we can have. Have them visit the website, have them email me with ideas on different ways they can use it for testimonies, and they can actually use the product to videotape themselves for their own products and for their own websites.
Okay.
So it is a video camera system.
And what is the smartphone holder?
That's a new invention that we have. It's actually, instead of using a laptop and a webcam, we can now use a smartphone on top of the stand to hold the smartphone very steady in order to audio and video record either documents or people.
And how much is that? Are you selling that now, or that's still working on that?
We're actually doing the smartphone holder currently. We're actually producing and selling the stands and cameras now.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask the price? It sounds expensive to me. The whole time I'm sitting here looking at this going, gosh, it's so versatile, it's so lightweight, but it sounds expensive.
Not at all. The web camera is typically $75 to $100 on the open market. Mm-hmm. It comes with the stand and the high-definition software. We're selling for $295.
Okay, and you buy the camera and the stand and everything from you with it, the whole package?
It's a complete
look like
package,
that.
Okay,
right.
Yes.
Because when you said that camera is kind of an off-the-shelf type camera, I have a camera on Skype on computers in my house, but this looks different. I mean, that camera, it fits on the stand so nicely. So the whole package can be purchased from you, at the website?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm.
And I saw how easy it was to hook up. Even I can probably do that.
Well, typically when you get used to it, it takes about 30 seconds to set it up. It mm-hmm. takes longer to boot the PC than it does to set the system up.
Interesting, because I spent like $800 on a projector recently yeah. for a presentation, so that's
nothing. You could have two and a half of these.
Two and a half of them and a lot more flexibility. Great. So give us the website one more time.
It's icstand.com.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Liam, I'm so glad he came on because I had no idea. When I was kind of hearing back and forth right. of what it was, I had no idea what to expect. That right. really is brilliant.
You got to see it, though.
Yeah, you do kind of have to see it. So I think maybe going to the website and encouraging our listeners, go to the website, check it out, because it is. The clarity and everything is very cool. Wonderful. Well, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Next up, we have Amy Zespin. Welcome.
Hi. Welcome. Thank you.
So tell us about your business. And now that I'm calming down a little bit, isn't that cool?
That is really neat product. Yeah. Really neat.
Very cool product. But tell us about very your smart. Business.
Yes. Well, Damsel Productions is an organization I started this year. Our aim is to provide a forum and an opportunity for Atlanta-based female independent artists to come together and perform concert showcases and raise awareness and money for local nonprofit organizations also based in Atlanta.
Very cool. How did it come about?
I wanted to merge my two passions, which are is music and giving back. And I kind of had reached a place in my life where doing things just for myself or being a singer-songwriter just for me, it just didn't seem like enough. So originally the idea started out as an online big distribution company and kind of felt like CD Baby was really doing that the right way. And to compete with that just didn't really make sense. And as the idea evolved over 7 years, I scaled it back and kept it simple, and now we're just who we are. We're Atlanta-based, and it's exciting. So
that's very exciting. So it's just women?
Just women, yep. They're some of the best performers, I think, in Atlanta. We have featuring our first show is October 14th, which is next Thursday. We'll be featuring Kelly Andrews, Granville Automatic, Sin Pretty, myself, my band, and Meredith McDonald.
And tell us a little bit more about the event.
Yeah, it's next Thursday, October 14th at Smith's Old Bar, which is right in Midtown. It starts at 8 p.m. sharp. The doors open at 7, and the silent auction will begin at 7:45. It's, of course, a 21 and over event. And we've got the five performers, a silent auction, free raffle. All the proceeds from the ticket sales and from the silent auction will go to the Atlanta Day Shelter for Women and Children, which we're really proud to be able to sponsor that night. And it's open to the public, so the tickets are $12 a piece. You can get advanced tickets at ticketalternative.com, and then if you buy tickets at the door, it's $15.
Now, what kind of music is this?
This,
like gangster rap.
Yeah.
That's what the band sound like, you know.
It's a little bit of... acoustic. We have a couple of acoustic solo acts, a duo acoustic, and few full bands. Which they, my band does a little bit more pop. Sin Pretty is a little bit more punk. So a little bit of folk, pop, punk. Keep it lively.
How did you choose the bands?
Just did some research online, and Kelly's a friend of mine. So and she's just beautiful and has a wonderful voice. She's a lead singer of Siberia, My Sweet. So I definitely wanted her to perform, and just kind of doing some research and making connections here and there. Went out to see some live music and decided who I wanted for the show. So
was it difficult to get the performers, or was that once you started talking about it, then they all wanted to get involved?
I would say it was a little bit of a challenge at first.
Because it was new and it was the first
right,
time.
Right, yeah. I really wanted Doria Roberts to headline the show for me, and I think she's releasing a new album this fall, so she's kind of been busy, but has been a good advocate for us. So, it was a little bit of a challenge, but I think once the word got out, I created a little bit of interest amongst the female performers in Atlanta, and they, you know, they decided to sign on.
But guys can go to this.
Absolutely. Of course, guys can go. It's it's a celebration of women. So I look at it that way. And all of the my band members are guys, and they're great. And, you know, so of course. And we have some really wonderful things I think the guys will be interested in at our silent auction. We have Some of the items were given away, four Atlanta Falcons tickets and tickets, family four pack to Bodies the Exhibition, Dad's Garage tickets, Alliance Theater. We have a High Museum of Art has donated a family membership for a year, which is
what
really
about
great.
Any of the bands? Will they like write a song for me?
Sure.
I think they would enjoy that.
Yeah. That's a good gift for someone. So you don't think?
That is actually, it's a really good, like, to put in the silent auction. Yeah.
There you go. Really, you're welcome.
Thank you.
So what do you want this to turn into? Do you want this to be
this is Lilith Fair.
Kind of. I mean, I was a Lilith Fair finalist back in, I think it was 99 or 2000. They had, like, a Lilith Fair kind of Atlanta competition. I think they did it
in every local market.
Yeah,
when they
exactly.
Toured.
So I was a finalist for the Atlanta market.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it was a while ago. But you know, all the energy, the positive energy for the women coming together really
right.
kind of inspired me and made me think, you know, this would be really great. Thing
like an Atlanta-based
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
version. Like regular. You want to do this regularly, right?
Right. And I'd like to do, I mean, it takes about 4 months to kind of prepare for one of these events if you're not going to just throw it together at last minute. So I'd like to, I think, now doing this first event, put it in perspective for me. So I'd like to do two events a year, one more intimate jazz setting, because I have a lot of friends that that are wonderful jazz performers in town. And so I'd do one jazz event a year and then one of these big shows where we do the full silent auction, free raffle, and that sort of thing with more of the acoustic and pop artists.
Smith's Old Bar is a great venue, too. Have you ever been there, Lee?
No.
Lee, it's really good. It's really, really
good.
Yeah,
for music, nice. It is. But it's not very big. So if folks want to see the show, they should probably come early.
I agree. Buy tickets early.
Yeah, really. It is. It's intimate, and the sound is good, and it's just a great venue.
It's a lot of fun. I did my first CD release party at Smith's Old Bar, and they're really great to work with. The venue's fun. It's a bar, but it doesn't really have that sort of bar feel. You know, you can make it really intimate, and it's a nice venue.
Now, what have you learned from doing this, like, that you didn't know? Like, in your head, you kind of probably pictured it one way, but then once you got into it, then probably turned out a little.
Yeah, quicker. It was, I think, a lot more work than I had anticipated.
You thought, well, I got this idea. Wow. I'll just make some phone calls, and then it'll just
yeah,
show up.
Exactly. Right. I think the silent auction has been the biggest challenge for me.
Really?
Mainly because it's how to process. I thought I could do a lot more processing through PayPal, and I'm trying to get the organization set up as a nonprofit. So that's paperwork still going back and forth with the IRS.
Right.
But the processing of credit cards during that event, and I've had to jump through hoops to sort of make that happen. And fortunately, you know, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that the cable will work and everything
right.
will swipe. And I'm, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, not going to know until the event really happens. So, but the other thing that I've learned is so many people in the community of Atlanta have been so generous, and I was just not shocked, but I was just, I guess, maybe a little shocked, just, you know, surprised and grateful, and really how receptive people have been towards the idea, and knowing that I'm not even established as a nonprofit yet, and being very generous with what they've donated for the silent auction and for the free raffle, and I've just gotten some really great response, so.
Will you pick additional charities, or will it always be the same one?
Yeah, if you check out www.damselproductions.com, it kind of shows a list of all of our the charities. So I want to keep it focused towards women because it's sort of female artists for female causes is, you know, how I want to keep it focused. But there are quite a few other charities that we'd like to the Atlanta Union Mission, and there's a really great animal shelter in I think it's Alpharetta, Southern Hope, and they're always looking for help. So the Atlanta Food Bank, you know, we like to work with a lot of different charities. We want to keep it kind of broad. So
terrific. Great idea.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you'll be successful.
Thank you.
This will
no
definitely
doubt.
Catch on.
Thank you so much. Well, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Give us the website again and then the details on the event.
Okay, it's damselproductions.com, and the event is Thursday, October 14th at Smith's Old Bar in Midtown Atlanta. Starts at 8 p.m. sharp. If you want to come a little bit early, the silent auction will start at 7:45 and will go on for about an hour through the event. During intermission, the silent auction will end. The tickets can be purchased in advance at ticketalternative.com for $12, and it'll be $15 at the door, and it's a 21 and over event.
Wonderful. Sounds cool. Like fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good time. So please join us if you're in town. Make it out next week.
Terrific. Thanks for being with us today, Amy.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Bye. All right. Bye.
You have got to definitely go to Smith's Old Bar, Lee.
All right. Let's
go. Do you and Abby go out?
They have lunch?
Yeah, I think they have food. You wouldn't go there for the food, but maybe you would. I've never had the food there.
We don't go out.
No, sure. I got to tell you, the last time I was there, John Mayer's guitar player.
Oh, was there John Mayer doing, groupie?
I am a little
bit. Did
not
know that.
But the buzz on Twitter was that John Mayer was going to show up at midnight. So that's late for me on a weeknight,
right? Sounds like a movie I saw with Michael Cera.
And he never showed up. He never showed up. But then, like, months later, I did. And I waited. But the concert was fabulous nonetheless. And then a couple months later, he showed up at Eddie's Attic at, like, midnight with that. And I didn't get that tweet.
You didn't get that message. You're not in the right circles, obviously.
I'm not. I'm upset with John. You know, next time he comes to town, he's got a call. Come over for wine and dinner, right? Our next guest I'm excited about this morning, too, Lee, because you know I love my wine. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Elizabeth from Wine for Normal People. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm hoping I'm normal.
I think I am.
I don't know.
Well, describe it. Wine for Normal People. It sounds like an interesting concept.
You know, I spent a lot of time in the wine industry in California, and I have been trained by all sorts of people from, you know, certified wine educators and sommeliers. And the thing that's always bothered me is that people really talk down to you. They don't treat you like you're an intelligent person when it comes to wine, which I think is the most ridiculous thing in the entire world. It's fermented grape juice, people. Come on. So the concept was really to talk to people as if they were smart individuals who maybe didn't know as much about a subject and approach wine as if it's a topic that, you know, people want to know about, but they certainly don't want to be, you know, preached to or spoken to like they were idiots because they didn't know something.
Yeah, that's so true. We've had this conversation
before. It's
kind
of funny. Like, what do you think of that guy? There's an internet guy that does wine. What's his name?
Gary Vaynerchuk. So this is the other thing about normal people.
He's too normal?
He might be like a little lowbrow. The funny thing about wine is, like, I feel like it's polarized. I worked for Gallo. So, you know, they're kind of at the bottom of the spectrum, but they're also at the top of the spectrum. And what's really funny is that in marketing, they wind up either being like, yeah, what's going on? It's wine. It's just like beer. It's awesome. Or, you know, well, of course, you don't know that 2005 Bordeaux is the best vintage in the last 20 years. Well, you know what? Normal people don't want to be spoken to like they were morons, and they don't want to be spoken to like they were, you know, like it's so pedestrian. I mean, wine's a tough subject, so there's got to be some common ground. So
you're trying to create that middle area.
I think
so. A safe space.
That's exactly right.
Yep. So how do you do it? Wine for Normal People. How do you go about it?
Wine for Normal People is essentially an edutainment company. So, people don't
like that.
Right. So people, you know, when you talk about wine, you don't want boring facts shoveled on a plate.
You don't
want
a professor.
Right. But
it's
at the same
college.
Time, you want to know a couple of things about wine. And
just
that's another,
two or three.
Right. But the
not
problem,
too many.
When you're drinking wine, if you go to a wine tasting, sometimes the problem is that people are pushing a brand, right? They just tell you about that wine.
Right.
They don't tell you about wine in general. Mm-hmm. So then when you go and shop, if they don't have your brand, what are you going to do? You don't know.
You go by those numbers. They always have numbers.
Oh,
82,
ratings, yeah.
88.
Right.
90.
Who are written by the same people who are talking down to you and being snotty. So, of course.
So,
you know,
the higher number wins, right?
Right, of course.
Is that how it works?
No, your palate wins, right?
So,
the whole point at the end of the day is that it's all about you, where nobody's born with the same palate. So, you've got to figure out what you like and what you don't like in wine. So, that's what, you know, my tastings and edutainment events aim to do. Teach you a couple things about wine. Hopefully, you'll pick up some cool facts and learn about the subject as opposed to a brand. I don't advocate for brands. I just advocate for wine. Go wine.
That's awesome. So where do you get your wine?
Where do I shop for wine?
I'm asking the real question now.
I know. You are asking
the real
question.
At Trader Joe's. right?
Well, you know what? I do sometimes get wines from Trader Joe's. I buy wines from everywhere. There are a couple of wine shops in town. You know, I buy wine from people. You buy wine from people, right? So, you know, I buy wine from the shops that I think have good selections mm-hmm. and that have fair prices. I think pricing is ridiculous. I will tell you, Whole Foods
there's
marks
a markup
up,
in wine?
Yeah.
You're
Fresh
kidding me.
Fresh Market. Oh, my gosh. Fresh Market, I just bought a bottle of wine there and saw it at Total Wine for half the price. It was like a $22 bottle of wine, and it was $8 at Total
no
Wine.
No way.
It's insane.
It could be that.
That $22 to $8. I mean, wow. Really. It was Mark West Pinot Noir right. that I like. I mean, that's crazy markup.
It is crazy.
Did you buy the 22?
I had bought the 22 because I had it in a restaurant and I really liked it. And it's always marked up in the restaurant. You expect that. But then I saw it at a Fresh Market and I was like, oh, gosh.
Oh, they have it. You're all excited.
And
you're
like,
oh, it's cheaper than the restaurant.
And then I saw it in the circular for Total Wine. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
It's a little obscene. I mean, places like Fresh Market and Whole Foods, I've just been consistently shocked at the pricing there.
I think
and
they just go for like a ridiculous price because just to laugh to see if somebody buys it.
I think they do too.
On the wine, maybe. I will say their food and stuff.
It's extremely expensive
too. It is,
too.
That's why they call it Whole Paycheck.
Whole Paycheck, exactly.
It's true. Well, I'll give you
one. What about Costco? I heard they have good prices.
Yeah, they do. They get good prices because, you know, of course, you know, this is where the benefit of me having been on the corporate side is. So what happens is that, you know, especially at this time of year, you get great deals at places like Costco because the wineries are in a pinch. They've got to make their numbers for the end of the year. They have to sell out the vintage from last year. Doesn't mean it's old wine or bad wine, but they get really great pricing. So Costco sometimes has some of the best competitive pricing. Sometimes it's not that great, but sometimes mm-hmm. it's pretty good. There is one store in town I really like. I like Tower Wine mm-hmm. and Kroger Ansley. In town, inside the perimeter, is the little jewel of the crown that I think a lot of people don't know about.
Really?
It's just that Kroger Ansley.
Interesting. Yeah. So you probably go to the wine department everywhere you go just to check it out.
I do. Yeah, I do, just to see what they have, the selections. Not everybody has the same thing. I mean, there's 20-plus distributors in Atlanta, so not everybody buys from every distributor, and the selection is always different. And I'm like any normal person, I'm price conscious because I want to make sure that I'm getting the best deal for my money. And these days, you can get great wines for below $15. So
what time do you start drinking wine? Like, well, you know, is there a morning wine that you use?
It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's
so
right.
We have to remember that. What time do I start drinking? I drink wine with dinner. You know,
lunch?
I do it European
lunch?
Style. Sometimes lunch, European style.
People like hanging out with you, huh?
Yeah, usually. You know, I mean, I try to drink. You know, it's funny. When you're in the business, you drink much more in moderation. I mean, I don't tend to get loaded off of wine. And honestly, in all of my tastings, I spit the wine because I'm looking for flavor. I'm not looking to, by the sixth or seventh wine when we're doing a wine tasting, you don't want me on the floor.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, definitely.
So if you go to one of these wine tastings with you, like, will you kind of figure out, okay, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, and these are some brands, like, that? Will that be my walk away?
Your walk away won't be brands because, like I said, what we'll do
but
is...
But I'll know what I like and
you
what
will
I don't.
Know. Yes, you will absolutely know. I usually try to do a couple of different contrasting styles so that you can understand, do you like European wines more or do you like, you know, New World wines? So New World is like, you know, Australia, Argentina, the U.S., you know, and what are the styles? What are the things specifically that you like about wines and what don't you like? Mm-hmm. And then what we can do from there is figure out regions where you should be shopping for wine. Because again, if I tell you the brand and then you go to the store and the brand's not there, how are you going to know? But if I tell you, you really seem to like wines from Sonoma County, you can go to the Sonoma section and chances are within a pretty good range, you're going to be able to get what you want. So I think people that give you specific brands, I mean, unless you've had the brand before, it's very limiting. And
you shouldn't say like, I like brand X from 1983. Like, that's my wine?
You can say whatever you
want,
right?
That's too limiting? That's
I wouldn't tell you that, right? I wouldn't tell you that. But I might tell you, because you like Mark West Pinot Noir, you should try Estancia, maybe, mm-hmm. because that's also made in the Central Coast, and it's pretty good wine, and it's around the same price point. So you could try that.
Interesting. I like that theory.
Yeah. Or you could try, you know, a bunch of different wines from the Central Coast. Just look on the label for Central Coast Pinot Noir, and then, you know, your next step is probably to go and check out Oregon wines because they're not that much different. So, you know, I mean, that type of thing, giving you a couple steps forward because you're not always going to want to drink the same thing every time. It gets boring.
Yeah, I would definitely mention. So you have a blog that people follow you on internationally. How'd you get started with that, and what makes it so successful?
Well, again, I mean, I think the idea, the business started with the blog, and the idea behind the blog was, gosh, doesn't anyone write about wine in a way that is educational and that people can understand, but simultaneously, like, you know, has some substance? And so, you know, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I definitely, you know, a couple blog posts ago, I wrote about my sister cheating me on a sticker trade when we were like 10, you know, and I mean...
What's a sticker trade?
Oh, you didn't have a sticker album when you were a young kid? Come on.
Oh, I thought it was some wine.
No.
I thought it was a wine thing.
He's a boy, too.
No, no, no. I'm talking about, he was a boy. Did you have a sticker collection, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's something. Oh, yeah. Baseball cards.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Kind of the equivalent. Yeah, that's the equivalent for girls. And now it's silly bands. But, you know, back then we did stickers. You're right.
Yeah, we had the sticker book. So, you know, I write a little thing personal, something personal about myself. And I always try to make the wine something that people can understand. It's tongue in cheek, or it's spoken in, you know, kind of normal speak, so that people don't feel like anyone's speaking down to them. They can understand. It's never condescending. It's never rude. And I think that, you know, the more people that discover the blog, the more people really seem to like it, because it is that happy medium between Gary Vaynerchuk and Wine Spectator, which, mm-hmm. you know, both are a little over the top in each of their categories, I think.
Interesting. So if I want to host an event, how do I go about it?
Well, you can go to wineformalpeople.com and either give me a call or send me an email, and you know, we can schedule a really fun event that includes wine and tasting. I do corporate events.
You bring the wine, or you tell me what to buy?
I tell you what to buy. The state of Georgia, the laws. I know this would be shocking. Well, you know, the alcohol laws in Georgia are so loose.
Yes.
Right?
right.
So, yes, I'll tell you what to buy. Actually, every tasting includes a shopping trip with you, so that you, again, it's all about learning. So that when you go back to the store, your favorite store, I don't align with any store, you know how to shop for wine, how to break down a store. So we go on a shopping trip. We plan the event. I do everything. You just show up and have your guests
there.
Is there
food too?
If you provide food. I don't provide food. I wish I were a chef.
You well, make recommendations?
Yes, absolutely. I do food pairings too.
Very cool. Can you tell my wheels are spinning on this one?
Sounds
too?
Sounds like a good time for you.
I'm hosting a scotch tasting on Monday night.
Oh, how fun.
McKendricks, who, you know, they were guests on our show recently too. And that was the interesting thing, Elizabeth, is when I talked to the bartender there about the scotch tasting, usually the ones I've gone to, they're all like Johnny Walker, and they're pushing their brand. And he just got back from Scotland, the bartender.
Mm, lucky him.
Yeah, he's there for 3 weeks. And he just got back on Sunday, and he said, I'm going to bring four totally different types of scotches and explain the region. And that was his whole theory, is the water in the area and just the climate. And he said, that's what people want to know about. And he's not, you know, on this snooty side of scotch, but some people are. And it's the same with wine. I mean,
yeah.
you really, the region it comes from and all that is so, it's so different. And, you know, I love wine, but I know that I don't like the smoky stuff. Like, if I feel like I just smoked a cigar or a cigarette,
Yeah.
And some of them are. What is that I don't like, Elizabeth?
That's oak aging. So if a wine is very oaky, a lot of times it depends on the toast of the barrel. So all that kind of stuff goes into it. Sometimes if it's spicy, it could also be the grape. So, you know, Syrah or Shiraz tends to be sometimes a little smoky because of the grape. But usually it's the barrel or the toast. And sometimes that really has to do with the producer, not necessarily the region. So, you know, if it's a smoky wine, it could just be that the producer, and California makes great wines, but they love to monkey around with their wines. They love putting them in all sorts of, you know, different barrels and blending them together. So you might get that kind of smoky component that you just find really distasteful. And by the way, stay away from Islay Scotch if you don't like, it's really peaty. It's got that smoky. You're going to find that in your fun Scotch tasting.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause the aftertaste of some of those, it's like, ooh, it tastes like you just had an ashtray.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. Not good at all. So what's your favorite red wine these days?
I actually have made a return back to Italy. I have been off of Italian wines for a while, but I love a southern Italian wine. Great values coming out of southern Italy right now. It's called Aglianico. And there is a – it's – it's they make it at all price levels. There's a great $15 one that I just had from Terradora Di Paolo. Terrassi is another. It's more expensive. It's from a specific part of southern Italy with volcanic soils. It's absolutely delicious, rich and full and great for the colder weather.
Great. Is there a price that a person should spend, or like I know it can run the gamut for just a few dollars to hundreds, thousands, whatever. But is there a number, like, can you $15, $20 you can be in there and you can find good wine, or that's impossible, or
No, it's not impossible. It really has to do there. It's so sad. There's no price quality linear ratio.
There's no connection there.
No, it's really sad. Right now, you can get awesome values like Malbec out of Argentina. You can get awesome Malbec for like $11. But you can't get an awesome Cabernet from California for $11. I can tell you that right now. So it depends on the region. Right now, I think the best values are coming out of Spain. They're coming out of Argentina. They're coming out of Chile. And if you can get them, Portugal actually makes some really kind of neat wines. And southern Italy. But so there you can even get things like below $10 sometimes. And don't be afraid. I mean, what I tell people is, do not be afraid to try something for $10. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, pour it down the sink. It doesn't really matter.
Or
right?
Cook with it.
Or cook with it. There yeah. you go. It doesn't matter. You got to try things. It's all about trying and just taking notes either mentally or, you know, remembering. Don't stick with the same thing every time, because if you do, you know, the world of wine is so vast that you just miss out on a ton of stuff. So don't be afraid to go try the French one with the cool label or the scary label or however you want to see it. French, you know, France is the home of wine for a reason. And by the way, there's some great values for $15 out of France too. So,
and is it something like, if you like one kind of wine and then should you buy it from the same year, like 10 years before, does that make it better? Or?
So here's where like the normal part of wine comes in, which I think is hilarious. Wine is like, you know, the farmers with the overalls,
exactly.
Right? We need to remember
right.
this.
Right.
So when there's a corn crop, I mean, just think about it this way. Forget about the wine for a second. Sometimes it's an awesome, you get like really sweet corn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes the corn sucks.
Right.
And so we have to remember that it's the same thing. I mean, there's like dudes in overalls in France picking grapes.
So it could be dramatically different flavor one year to the next?
Yes. It just depends on Mother Nature and the weather. Mother Nature always wins. So that's why vintage matters. It's not because some snooty guy said blah, 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 blah. But nobody ever explains that to you, right? I mean, they just say vintage. Mm-hmm. Well, it's agricultural. Like one year there was a hailstorm and it ripped all the grapes off and now there's crappy grapes left and that's what they had to make wine with. And,
wow.
Right? So, if you like the same wine, yeah, you may like one from 20 or 30 years before, especially if it's a finer wine, because they make it in a certain style. They try to keep it consistent year after year. They do make it the same, you know.
Right, their method of making it doesn't really change, but the quality of the grape might change from year to year.
Of course, which is why it's cool. But again, like I said, people get so snooty about vintage, and all it is like, you know, some dude in the overalls is like jumping up and down because 2009 was great vintage, and in 2010, it's not quite as good.
Right.
You know?
Wow. So you kind of need to follow the weather, too. That's very cool. Lot to know. So if folks want to book a party with you, I know I do. How can we reach you?
www.winefornormalpeople.com. And I'm moving my blog over to that site as well. So if you want to follow the blog, right now it's winefornormalpeople.blogspot.com or elizabeth@winefornormalpeople.com.
And how many people are in a party?
I do all sorts of parties. I can do a smaller intimate tasting for about 20, and I've done corporate events for 90, 100, 150 people. So it just the format has to change, obviously, based on that.
So but, 20 is a minimum?
No. There's no minimum.
Okay.
Just you and her.
No, I'm thinking Bunko Group, Book Club. There I'm thinking the Kai Medical Spa, Grace. I've had events at her spa before with friends.
I know her.
But what fun would that be for you to come and talk wine as we're all getting our massages? That would be a great pairing.
Great.
And we also have a fabulous guest up next, and she does great cooking classes. Yeah. And how much fun would that be to have a cooking class and then learn about wine, too?
That's it.
I love it. Elizabeth, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I love the fact that she didn't make me feel stupid.
No, I only felt a little stupid.
Well, that's because you're not a big wine drinker, Lee. Our next guest, I'm so excited about it because since she was here last, I've attended some of her cooking classes and just really had the experience of getting to know she and her mother a little bit better. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Natalie from Chinese Southern Bells. Welcome.
Thank you. Ni hao, y'all.
Yeah, I love that. My kids were saying that after the cooking class. So, Lee, after Natalie was on the show, I was so intrigued. I love to cook, and I love experiences. So I took a cooking class with my kids at the DeKalb Farmers Market.
Yes. The Buford Highway Farmers
Market. Buford Highway Farmers Market. Sorry. And we actually have made the recipes several times. When we have company, we impress them with the egg rolls.
Wonderful.
And they love
You'd whip up fresh egg rolls?
Which kind? Which way? We did like three ways.
Oh, my gosh. Depends what I have.
Right?
I can improvise.
Pan fried or the non fried?
Exactly.
Thai basil.
And then the basil rolls. Oh, my goodness. Lee, when you go to a Thai food restaurant and you pay $5 for two little basil rolls, you'll go, why am I doing that? I can make these at home and they cost, you know, 20 cents a piece.
No.
Crazy, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a markup in Chinese and Thai food, too. Who knew?
And Natalie shows you how. So tell us, what's new with you? You were just kind of getting started, and you have so taken off. I've seen you all over the place. Walk us through what's going on.
Well, I'm still having tons of fun, and my mom still joins me as guest co-host, although I have to remember that she likes to go fishing, and she has another job. So sometimes she hangs out the shingle, gone fishing. I'm like, all right, my mom has the night off. But we're still having a lot of fun, and one of the great rewards is hearing experiences and stories like yours of families, mothers, parents, kids coming to me and saying, you know, I never thought I could make this, or I never thought I could make sushi. I never thought I could do dumplings, you know, Asian dumplings. It's being able to kind of demystify and just make it fun, a little bit like what Elizabeth is doing, which I think is wonderful too, which is putting the fun and the social and the getting together and putting aside the blackberries and picking up, you know, the food and the people part. Remembering that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and it is. You kind of push people over the edge. Before I came today, I went to the Dunwoody Green Market, and I bought Chinese green beans, and I'll tell you, they are like 2 feet long.
Oh, yeah, the long beans. I actually had written a blog post about that.
What do I do with them?
A little food trivia. It's the Chinese long bean is actually not a green bean, though you would cook it similar to a green bean, and it looks just like a green bean. They can be 2 feet long, right? So when we do the Asian market tours, one of the most popular items for people to pick up. But it's actually related to the black-eyed pea.
Really?
Yes. And so the black-eyed pea, which is very much a southern tradition, right? I love black-eyed peas, is actually a long-standing popular favorite in Southeast Asia, places like Malaysia. So if you go to one of the Asian markets, folks are often surprised to see black-eyed peas in some of the prepared desserts even. And so that's just a little bit of food trivia. I'm glad that you picked those up. But you would prepare them, probably like some green beans. You can put some black bean sauce with them. But that's some of the things that I like to do with the markets. We'd like to do more with some of the farmers markets. A walk the greens or walk the garden, W-O-K, the garden, that is.
Yes.
To show people how to make some of these new vegetables.
Yeah. And talk people through that, too, because when you go to the Buford Highway Farmers Market, it is completely overwhelming. You're like, where do I start? And you do market tours. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Buford Highway Farmers Market is a wonderful – it's actually an older market that's just been renovated, and they've done a fantastic job of making it very multicultural and international and just a fun experience. I mean, similar to the classes and demos that I do there, when you walk in, you feel like you have a chance to travel the world.
Right?
So we've enjoyed being partners with them, and when I do the tours or classes or demos there, that's what we try to achieve is to help people get comfortable and get a sense that they are going to eat something very good. They're going to explore with us. They're going to go eat and shop and explore with us. And I think that's where the fun comes from, whether it's you're a kid or you're an adult.
And what do you have going on in 2011? I know you've got big plans. You're doing all kinds of different classes and events.
Well, actually, we have I want to make a quick announcement about a class we're having this week. Our noodles class, our Asian Noodles class is sold out for this month, but I wanted to encourage folks to come this Thursday to a Wild About Rice class, which we still have some spaces for, with a sushi bonus, because we're going to be going through all the different kinds of rice. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there's red rice, pink rice, in addition to the basmatis and the fragrant jasmine and the sticky. And sometimes it gets confusing when you go to the store. You might see a whole aisle of bags of different kinds of rice. But we really get up close and personal with the different rice, and then we show you how to make the rice. We go through some of the cookware, some of the rice cookers, which seems to confuse or intimidate a lot of folks.
I got mine out after that cooking class. I used to never use a rice cooker. I use it at least once a week now. It's so easy. I dump it in, I push the button, I walk away.
That's great. It's really indispensable. I mean, there's some American appliances, I think, that are kind of the regulars, right? Everybody has a coffee maker or a microwave. There's some cookware in Asian households that you'll always find on the counter. And a rice cooker is a definite must.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you like rice, I would strongly recommend putting it on your wish list.
Yeah, it's so easy. I don't know why I was still making it on the stovetop.
Yeah, but a lot of people seem to have challenges. So we have rice cooking challenges. So a lot of folks
come to the class, you just show them how to put it in the pot, the rice maker?
Well, obviously there are differences. There seem to be a lot of variation. And I tell people it's kind of like picking out a car, you know, because you can get the kind of baseline, push one button.
Right.
And leave it. And then you can get the top of the line, the Lexus model,
what happens
you still push one button and leave it.
There's like fuzzy logic and a computer chip.
Fuzzy
and
logic.
You can program it days ahead of time. It might do your dishes for you. I don't know. But I prefer the simple, kind of the Corolla, you know, brand, the one button push.
Yeah.
But we go through some of that. We kind of have fun with it. But the class this Thursday still has some open space. So I want to encourage folks to help us fill it up. And we have a sushi bonus. You get just $20, and the market even gives you a gift card,
which is
for that. So you can go shopping.
The gift card.
That's how they get you.
Right? Oh my goodness!
Then so you drop hundreds of dollars. It's really a $100 class.
But that's shopping by choice, though.
It is shopping by choice. But I make sushi for my kids' lunches now because they love sushi and it's so easy. And I never would have thought. I always think traditional. Okay, it's a California roll or whatever. And like you had said in one of the sushi classes, whatever you have in your crisper, you put it in there. I mean, I'm putting leftover
salad
putting,
makings. Yeah, I've actually
whatever I've got.
I had one friend whose child just did her Halloween costume and dressed up as a sushi roll. She came to the class. They had a birthday for her mom, birthday party, and brought a bunch of friends. And I do sushi Mythbusters because a lot of times people think that it has to have raw fish or any fish.
Idea.
No, not when the Chinese Southern Belle cooks. The sushi masters are turning in the grave.
Fried chicken.
But I'm very unconventional. Well, not too far off. Country fried sushi. But, you know, you have to learn to make adaptations. We did, because when we're grown up here in Smyrna, Georgia, even 10 years ago, you didn't have all the different international markets, which is wonderful now, or you didn't have a chance to, you know, drive that far to a special market. So you did have to make do with whatever was in your refrigerator, you know, your leftover salad makings, your leftover stir fry, and you had to be creative and versatile. So we still carry that over into our classes to say, hey, even with all these special markets, you now have a whole aisle of soy sauce and rice that you can choose from, but we're busy as well, and we want to make adaptations if you're vegetarian or if you have certain dietary needs or just health concerns, or want to use local veggies. You know, you want to cook from your garden or from what's coming out of the market seasonally. So we have fun doing that.
Talk a little bit about your YouTube channel. I want to get make sure we touch on that. And then also your munchies. You have an online store, too. I need to hear about that.
Yes. I should be writing more on my book, but because it's so fun doing these other things, I'm having trouble blocking out the time.
You're distracted by shiny objects?
Yes, especially snacks and bags. So I have started just some snack demos on YouTube. We have a Chinese Southern Belle YouTube channel. So I'm kind of just putting up, some of them are more practice videos. They're, you know, I'm just grabbing volunteers to help me. But I love snacking and eating. So I am starting to just feature some of my favorite snacks. Some of them you can buy online. Some of them you can't. But actually, you can buy all of them online. Some of them you can buy at the stores. So it's actually trying to build a national market. I've had folks from different places around the country who cannot attend my classes. Mm-hmm. And so they've wanted to get my tips and recommendations for different kinds of food or cookware. So the online store enables them to kind of still stay in touch with us, and the recipes and the blog also connects them as well without having to be in Atlanta. So I'm hoping the book series will also do that too.
And give us your website.
It's ChineseSouthernBelle.com, and I have a weekly blog, sometimes a couple of postings every week, okay, with just different tips and recommendations on favorite snacks, dishes. Similar to Elizabeth, I like to focus on food rather than necessarily particular restaurants. But sometimes mm-hmm. there is a neat little Korean bakery or cafe that I'll focus on. I'll also highlight some of my just favorite local businesses, good people doing good things, nice, and recipes and tips and new cookware and kitchen gadgets that I'm getting a hold of. So there's lots of fun things out there. Some of them are high tech. Some of them are as simple as, you know, a Asian big hold grater that I can't find here. I find it over in Taiwan in the Asian dollar store.
Oh, wow.
But I can't find it here. So <That's funny. laughs> I'm looking for it online, or I'm about to bring over some when I go over there next. But just kind of fun things that I find and that I use, I test out, and I think might be handy for folks in their own kitchens.
Neat. And you're going to be at the Chili Cook-Off again this year.
Yes.
That's where we met, actually. a year ago, we met at the Dunwoody
That's
Chili
right.
Cook-Off. And first of all, I love chili. I love spicy things. I love just to try anything. And when I saw that y'all were there, I'm like, that's kind of odd. And the chili
You weren't
was,
the only one.
The chili was so good. But you guys were just getting started. And my goodness, what
we
you
were.
Have done.
We were. We actually featured some of the cookware, the kitchenware, you know, that we held the chilies in. That is something that I'll have on my online store, these portable cookers. But we are going to be there again. Instead of making six different kinds of gallons of chili, we're going to
make one kind.
We're going to make one kind, which was the my mom's, Margaret's Chinese chili was a crowd favorite last year.
I think
so
it had
we
five
gonna
spice.
Focus on that.
Did it have five spice in it?
I can't say it.
Oh,
secret.
Was it? Because I remember really
it's
liking that one.
We really want to win.
Oh, good. Well, everybody needs to come out and vote for y'all. And that's October 23rd at Brook Run, right?
Yes, at Brook Run Park.
Terrific. Yes. And they're coming on next week to talk about the Chili Cook-Off and the festival, the music festival and things. So
we have lots of festivals coming up.
Good deal. Well, check out the website. Give us that one more time.
It's ChineseSouthernBelle.com. And oh, I wanted to mention the Taste of the World event, which benefits the Africa Children's Fund. So that is a new event that we're doing this Sunday on the 10th at the Hyatt Regency. So just in case someone wants to check into that, it's a great benefit event. There's lots of chef demos that will be there too.
Neat.
Africa'sChildrensFund.org for tickets.
And is that on your website, a link?
It is.
Good. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you keep up with all of it. You are so busy.
I don't know how I do it either. I feel a little bit disoriented. That's what I tell people.
Wow.
So, but I'm having a great, great time living out this kind of dream of pulling together the food, the culture, the family stories. The book will focus a little bit more on some of the family recipes and stories of us traveling from China to the Deep South, but kind of pulling that together with the community.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Having a great time.
Gosh, Lee, time does fly when you're having fun. We are completely out of time. Thank you, Natalie, so much for being with us today and for being a repeat guest, and we'll have to catch up with you again next year.
Thank you very much.
I've got a feeling we're going to see her on Food Network.
So. Yeah.
I really do. I think that all the time. I'm like, you know, they've got all
it's
these
It's just a matter of time.
It is. We'll see Natalie and her mom on Food Network. And her mom will have on the coolest heels.
You think they'll she'll remember
have to,
us?
She'll have to do her show from in front. No, they'll remember us. Are you kidding?
She'll be using that little device that we saw.
The electronic napkin?
Right.
That would be a neat device for them. Very cool.
I think so.
I got to talk to you more about that offline because I really think I'm going to get one of those.
I bet you are.
Wonderful. You know, I hate
That's
to shop.
That's where you do your shopping.
That's
it's
right.
on
I
the
hate
show.
To shop, so I do it already. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.